Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
I'm going to talk to you today about being truly transformed. Truly transformed. There are far too many people who call themselves Christians who have made absolutely no change, who are still absolutely conformed to this world and have never been transformed. And so that's what I'm going to talk to you about, because everybody in this room, including me, could use some transformation in certain areas. Praise God. But the Word of God promises that if we will obey, He will transform. So how many sermons have we heard on transformation? Too many to count. And you're about to hear another one, because by and large, Christians, most Christians, are stuck in that hearing but not doing land. And I hate to play the old person card, okay? But I remember the day when the majority of people who said they got saved were radically changed by their conversion. They were transformed. They heard more than one family member, more than one old friend say, "You have really changed. You're not even the same person." We don't hear that very much anymore, because we have American Christians, because we're not under the persecution that Christians are around the world. We have totally and completely dumbed down the power of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. There are far too many Christians who are the exact same people they were before they supposedly gave their lives to Christ. Bigger houses, nicer cars, designer clothes. God loves to see us prosper, but prosperity does not matter to a dead person. A renewed mind is far more valuable than things. If you're going to seek anything, don't seek things. Seek to have a renewed mind. If you're going to live, and I'm not talking about just existing in this life, I'm talking about live, strongly live, you're going to have to be transformed. Culture and media are against us. They're against our minds every day. Age is against us. Aches and pains and memory challenges every day. Hearing is how faith comes, but doing is how faith is manifested. And faith without doing, faith without works, is dead. Which means if you say you're transformed, there's certain things that you'll be doing now that you never did before. And there's certain things that you will not be doing anymore that you did before. This is what the Holy Ghost wants to do. Everybody say, "Holy Ghost." Holy Ghost. Yeah, I'm one of those. I believe in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. This is what the Holy Ghost wants to do to us. It wants to transform us. He wants to change us. By all means, hear the word of the Lord. By all means, hear what I say today. But then when this service is home, go home and do something about your life. Go home determined that come hell or high water, and both are coming. If they're not already here in your life, hell and high water will come. That's a sure thing. The Bible says, "In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome." Amen. So determine when this service is over that you will go home and you will obey. You will do the word of the Lord. Everybody say, "Do the word of the Lord." True transformation requires absolute submission. Oh, see, nobody wants to talk about submission. Submission is a dirty word to this culture. Nobody wants to submit to anybody, not even to the people who actually have authority. And that's one of the big things in the Word of God, that we are to submit to authority. And just because culture has frowned now upon submission, don't let them change your mind. Because the word teaches that you must absolutely submit. This is why the scripture outlines the steps to transformation. We present our bodies living sacrifices. Not as a living sacrifice. I don't know what translation added the "as a living sacrifice." That's not what the word says. The word said you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means that you present yourself to God and say, God, I no longer hold the reins of my own life. You own me. You bought me with a precious price, the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, and you own me. You get to say to me what you want me to hear. You get to tell me what to do, and I must do it. See, that's what a sacrifice is. A sacrifice has no will of their own. A sacrifice has to give in to the will of the person that it is presented to. So we present our bodies, living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God. We submit entirely to him. If he says, don't say that, we don't say it. If he says, don't go there, we don't go there. If he says, don't do that, we don't do it. But it's not just a matter of what we are not. I'm not just a sum total of the things that the scripture will not allow me to do. It's also of what we are, of what I am, of who I am. I am a worshiper. I am a living sacrifice. I am holy, not just because of what I don't do, but because my life of submission and worship to the Holy One are unwavering, and I desire to be holy as he is holy. Now, are you holy every minute of every day? No, I'm working on it. But the Bible says faith without works is dead, so at least I'm working on it. Are you working on it? Are you trying? If I want to be transformed, then my life, my sacrifice must be acceptable to God. See, it's not just a matter of presenting yourself to God. What you give to him has to be acceptable to him. People pleasing can no longer matter to me. See, if I offend you by this, I can't worry about that because it's the word of God. Even if everyone I know rises up together against me, I still must guard my sacrifice to make sure that it is acceptable to God. Now, this might be a revelation to you, but all of this submission that I'm talking about is going to require a knowledge of the word of God. You have to know what God finds acceptable before you can be acceptable to God. Don't take somebody else's word for it. If all the word you ever get is what comes from this pulpit, you are anemic and maybe even dying spiritually, because you have to know for yourself when you're out there by yourself and Living Way is not anywhere in the picture. You have to know who you are. You have to know whose you are. You have to know how powerful the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you, and that you are acceptable, pleasing to God. So how else can I know what is acceptable or unacceptable to him? It's too important for me to take someone else's word for it. Only his word will do. I spent my entire childhood wishing that I could fit in. I was a homely child. I wore glasses. I had hair that was totally out of control. And my mother did not know what to do with it. She did not help me at all. I look at the pictures and think, if I didn't know my mother loved me, I would swear she hates me. That she would allow something like that to be put on paper to where it lives forever. I did not want to be considered weird by my school friends. I did not want to stand out for my spiritual choices. I did not want to be judged for my appearance. I wanted so badly to fit in. But I also wanted to fit in at church. I didn't want to do anything that would cause any of my church friends to think that I didn't have any convictions. So I wanted to be a spiritual chameleon. I wanted to fade into the background wherever I was and just be part of the crowd. It was better to be unnoticed than to be singled out for weirdness. See, I'm convinced that a lot of times Christians try to fit in, and they develop many personalities. They develop a personality when they're hanging out with this friend. And they develop another personality when they're hanging out with this friend, and when they're with their boss, and when they're with their mother-in-law, and on to where after a while, split personality. Is there another word for like multiple split personalities? Because you develop those, not in the flesh, but in the spirit, you develop split personalities. I wanted to be part of the crowd, but today's revelation for you is this: fitting in is ungodly. Fitting in is ungodly. Fitting in is ungodly. The only place that you should truly feel like you fit in is in this house or in another house full of people just like you. That's the only place. And everywhere else, if you're fitting in, that means that you are not saying what God wants you to say. You're not shining your light. You're not being what, you're not being the witness that God wants you to be. So, fitting in is not something you want to do. Separating yourself is what positions you for transformation. Separating yourselves from the ungodly is what causes you to be positioned for transformation. The Bible says it in the very first psalm, in the very first verse of the very first psalm. Blessed is the man who doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but his law is the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And that person shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who brings forth fruit in her season, and the leaf shall not wither, and everything whatsoever she does, whatsoever he does, will prosper. Isn't that what you want? But you can't be transformed if you're constantly in the position of the ungodly. Okay. And spiritual transformation is achieved by mind renewal. Mind renewal. Oh my goodness, this mind, it's a crazy town in there. It's a crazy town. And you know that I have been living for God. I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 5 years old. I was filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 11 years old. I guard my mind all the time. I won't watch the news. I run from Steve when he tries to share it with me. All of these things, I guard my mind. Yet, my mind has the ability to become crazy place just like that. Because still, after all this time, after all the word I have in me, and after all of the Holy Ghost that I have prayed, still, the enemy comes against me in my mind. And if I didn't know what to do with that, according to the word of God, I would be crazy in a matter of days. But see, I know what the word says for me to do when things come against me in my mind. And left to its own devices, without renewal, without transformation, this mind thinks whatever it wants to think, whenever it wants to think it, as graphically as it wants to think it, and in living color. If Hollywood had access to your crazy mind, they could make some money. Am I the only one that has those just crazy? What would that person sitting next to you think if he or she knew what you were really thinking right now? Or what you were thinking when we were singing Throne Room Song? Could we all just admit right here, right now, how relieved all of us are to know that no one can read our minds? Uh-oh, wait just a minute. God can. And he does. See, we forget that. We're so busy trying to fit in out here, trying to say the right thing to impress the right people, forgetting that all of this is coming to naught because God reads the language of the heart. God sees what's in the mind, and God knows us from the inside out. That's why the Bible teaches us to cast down our imaginations, to bring every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. And when the Word of God does that, it puts the ball in our court. I have to cast down the imaginations. Oh, God, come and cast the imaginations down. No, no, no. You cast down the imaginations. You position yourself where you're not having all those crazy thoughts. You get away from the people that plant all of that junk in your mind. You do it. You cast it down. Thank you, Jesus. I have to bring every thought into captivity. Every thought into captivity. If it's not like God, it cannot stay in there. This is one of my favorite analogies because it was so frightening to me spiritually when I heard it for the first time. But an acorn is a very small thing. You can hold it in your hand. You can put it under your feet. You can crush it. You can throw it like a ball. You right there. You control that acorn. Not a problem, okay? If the acorn is bad for you, you can get rid of it because it is manageable. Is that not true? But if you allow that acorn to be planted, that acorn will become an oak tree that will drop literally thousands upon thousands of acorns in its life, which if they go into the ground and they come up, there is an oak tree for every acorn. It doesn't take a bunch of acorns to grow an oak tree, just one. And the next thing you know, because you did not deal with that acorn in your hand, now you have a forest of oak trees. And that's when people throw their hands in the air and say, I give up. It's too hard. I've got this whole forest. I can't deal with this forest. And they give up on God when all they had to do, when that thing came into their mind, the very first time is to take that thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ and throw it out. Throw it out. Amen. Amen. That's why when suicidal thoughts come against you, you don't entertain that. You don't entertain that. That is an acorn the very first time it comes in your mind. It's an acorn. But if you don't deal with it, the next thing you know, or the next thing we know, is we're hearing about what you did. Don't do that. Don't do that. You belong to God. God loves you. God wants to help you. But he needs you to cooperate and cast down imaginations and bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He will certainly help me, but I'm the one who has to initiate the process. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to say it again because all of you know it, but we need to be reminded in this context. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We're not transformed and changed from the outside in. You can go to all the seminars and self-help classes you want to, but those teachers cannot change you. Your transformation begins inside of you. In the most powerful battlefield of all, your mind. If your mind is not daily renewed in the things of God, nothing else will change. Your language will not change. Your deeds will not change. Your habits will not change. Your relationships will not change. Your circles will not change. But when you allow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to renew your mind every day, everything about you will be transformed. Your transformed mind will send transformed words out of your mouth that will in turn transform situations and circumstances in your life. I'm going to say that again. Your transformed mind will send transformed words out of your mouth, and when those words come out of your mouth, they will in turn transform everything around you. Everything around you. Transformation is an ongoing process. For those of you who have been saved a long time, you might be sitting there thinking, oh, she's really getting on to him today. No, I'm talking to all of us, because transformation is an ongoing process. I just got through telling you I'm 69 years old, and I still have to fight to keep everything out of my mind that should not be there. Just like the other day. Well, never mind. Let's just say my hand tingled so badly because I wanted to slap somebody. Now, you know that did not come from Jesus. And their last name wasn't Fender. In fact, I don't even know what their last name was. Somebody that was getting on my nerves. See? But I prevailed. I raised my hand to Jesus that I did not slap the man. Thank you, Jesus. Transformation is an ongoing process. The renewing is ongoing. It's every day, all day long. Your unrenewed mind cannot believe the word of God. It's too preposterous. It says things that are so far out that our minds can't fathom them as truth. The virgin birth of Jesus. How do you believe that except by faith? It's impossible to believe that except by faith. The Bible says in Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So according to the word, if we speak to our mountain and it does not move, the fault lies within us because of our unbelief. So you can post and quote all the scriptures you want, because we do that. Memory and repetition are not the things God honors. Faith is what God honors. You have to believe. He honors faith, and he honors obedience to the word. In other words, it won't happen if you don't believe what you post and quote. You have to look in your heart and say, do I believe this? And the more your mind is renewed through the word of God and through the Holy Ghost, the more you will have faith. Because faith is coming by the word of God, and that faith will cause you to believe the impossible in your life. But only a person with a renewed mind is able to capture that kind of life-changing faith. Amen. The only way you can believe the word of God is to have your mind transformed, and your mouth will never speak transformative words until your mind is renewed. Your mouth will never say what's right until your mind thinks what's right. The Bible says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Watching television does not renew your mind. It lends to the crazy thing that I was talking about a while ago. Newscasters do not renew your mind. The latest bestseller does not renew your mind. The Wall Street Journal does not renew your mind. A Gossip Girl session with your besties does not renew your mind. There's a balance of power in your mind at any given moment, and all day long, I have to judge that balance of power to make sure that God is on top of that, that God is on top of it. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest or just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. Think about these things. I don't know about you, but it's really, really important when you're sitting down and the day is over and your mind is tired and you start letting things run willy-nilly through your mind, you've got to quit that. You've got to take control of that mind, because that mind is where the battle is going to be either lost or won. So transformation, or the lack thereof, affects everything you do all day long. If you're not walking in a transformed manner, everything will get to you. Everyone will get to you. The less word you have in you, the more negativity your mind will release to your mouth. The more word you have in you, the less negativity your mind will be able to release into the situation through your mouth and your body. Now, think about this. I have a glass of water in my hand. Do y'all see it? See, you don't have no faith. See the glass. See the glass. It's got water in it. It's clear water. It's beautiful. It's a clear glass. It's one of those Anchor Hocking glasses from Walmart. If I put one drop of red Easter egg dye in that water, it totally and completely changes the water. It's one drop as opposed to a glass that's half full of water, but that one drop messes that glass up. Just one drop. And you know what? Everybody can see the change. So you think you're hiding. You're fitting in from place to place. Once you get saved, you ain't never a good sinner again. you really want to. You want to enter in like you used to, but you just can't, because in the back of your mind, the Holy Ghost is saying, what are you doing here? So one little bit of red dye changes that glass. But you know what happens? If I get a gallon jug of clear water and pour it, I don't have to pour the red out. If I just keep pouring until the red is forced out, I've got clear water again. That's what the Holy Ghost does for you. That's why it's really, really important for you to speak in tongues every day of your life. That's why it's important for you to pray over your children in the Holy Ghost. Pray over your husband, your wife in the Holy Ghost. Pray over your body in the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is what drives out everything evil that the devil has tried to do. If there's sickness in your body, pray in the Holy Ghost. If there's sickness in your marriage, pray in the Holy Ghost. If there's sickness in your children, pray in the Holy Ghost and drive out the effects of the negative. Drive it out. The Bible says this in Ephesians. I love this, talking about the church. To sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. So when your mind is stayed on Jesus, your mind is renewed and your mouth is transformed. This is what positions you to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is the will of God? Everybody's always wanting to know, what is the will of God for my life? Well, I'm going to give you some of the will of God, and then this is your study to begin with, and then you need to go on further for yourself. When I am weak in my flesh, I declare that I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I do not say I am weak. Oh, I'm so weak today. No, I'm not. Oh, you look weak today. Shut up. I'm going to have to get me a new friend if I'm going to be around somebody that's going to tell me how weak I look. When I have lack, I declare that I am rich. That in my Father's house are many mansions, that my Father owns everything, the gold, the cattle on the thousand hills, and it is his good pleasure. I give God good pleasure to give me the kingdom. What is the kingdom? Everything that is good. Everything that is good. When I am sick, I declare that I am healed. That it is the will of God to heal me, that Jesus took stripes on his back to provide healing for every disease. That's why I can go and have a surgery and be back the very next service. And do it time and time and time again. My faith needs to grow where I never have to have another surgery. But as long as it is where it is, I'm going to do what I can do, because I know that God is able. Amen. When I am sorrowful, how many of you have just ever been sorrowful? That's why I can't watch the news. It makes me sorrowful. It makes me so sorrowful to know that there are people who don't know Jesus. And then it makes me sorrowful for all the people who say they know Jesus, who are allowing America to be in the shape that it's in. It makes me sorrowful. But when I'm sorrowful, I declare that the joy of the Lord is my strength, and that there's joy in his presence. In his presence, there is joy, fullness of joy, and at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. See, this is how I keep my mind clear of the red Easter egg dye that muddies my waters. When I'm anxious, how many of you have ever been anxious? I declare that the Prince of Peace rules my heart and my mind. Yes, the Prince of Peace rules my mind because I'm transformed. The Prince of Peace rules my mind. I don't go there. I do not go there. Some people bring things up. I don't go there. If they bring things up to me, I just walk away. Because I don't let anything fool with the peace that is in my mind. Because if I have peace in my mind, that means I have peace in the strongest battlefield in my life. And if I can have peace in the battlefield, then I can have peace anywhere else. Amen. There's no better test to see if you have a renewed mind than to listen to what your mouth is saying. embrace transformation. Don't be afraid of the new thing that God is trying to do in you. Even though it sounds much better, the word transformation is just another word for change, and we hate change. Most of us just hate change, and we rail against change, and the older we get, the more we are like that. But transformation is going to be uncomfortable to some of us because it will force us to let go of negativity, and there are those among us who love them some negativity. Their grandma was negative. Their mama was negative. Negative just runs in their blood. Well, I'm here to tell you that I am one of those people. I was negative all my life. It took a revelation of the Word of God to get that out of me. But my life changed when I got rid of that negativity. I was saved, but I didn't talk like it. I was saved. I knew what the Word said, but I didn't use the Word as the weapon that the Bible says of itself that it is. Whew. Hallelujah. And it takes work. Transformation takes work. Transformation means you have to think about what you say before you say it. You have to think about what you do before you do it. It may be uncomfortable to you, but could it be that that's part of the new thing that God wants to do in you? Forget how you were yesterday. Forget all the family traits that go against the Word of God that have been passed on to you from generations. All of us have those. The Bible says in Isaiah, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. So there's a new flow of the Holy Spirit in the atmosphere, and nothing wakes you up like the enemy coming against you. This statement is correct only for those who have the Holy Ghost mindset, because you're either complaining about the enemy and his tactics, are you rejoicing because you realize that what he's doing is propelling you to your destiny? Don't run from the fight. Take control of the fight. You are the conqueror. You are the mighty warrior. You are the victor. You are the overcomer. You are the champion. You may have spent a lifetime running from confrontation, but with your renewed mind, your transformation will come a confidence that will not be denied. You know who you are. You know whose you are. You're absolutely submitted to God, and if that's not true, I'm going to give you a moment in the very near future to resubmit to God. You are his living sacrifice. You are holy. Your life is acceptable unto God. You refuse to conform to the enemy, and you win. And if all of those statements are not true of you, I'm going to invite you to come forward and make a new declaration to God this morning. And I said a new thing. How many new things can a woman who's been saved for 64 years experience? That's why when I sing I Still Have a Future, it means a lot more to me now than it did when I was in my 30s. Still having a future at 69 is a whole different ballgame than having a future at 25. I say this to you today, but this is what I declare to my flesh every day. I declare this to my flesh, not to the devil. I don't talk to the devil a whole lot. I don't have a lot to say to him because he's under my feet. But I say to my flesh, don't underestimate me because of my age. I say to my flesh, don't underestimate me because there are wrinkles where the smooth skin used to be. I say to my flesh, don't underestimate me because of the gray hair, because see, underneath this that Diana does, it's all gray. Don't underestimate me because of my gender. Don't underestimate me because of my size. Don't underestimate me because I've been saved for so many years and you think I'm just coasting off to glory. Don't discount me because you think that I'm still that shy young thing that used to let you have the upper hand in every battle, because that didn't happen anymore. I'm not that fearful woman. I'm not that uninformed woman. I'm not shy. I'm not reticent. I'm not amenable. I am in major beast mode. I have experienced a spiritual release the Kraken in my life. And I cannot go back to former complacency. You and I have been through hell to get where we are today. We're something. And we're about to be even more than we've ever been. Why am I saying this to you today? Because it is the Holy Spirit of God saying to his church, to his body in 2020, he's doing his best to remind his bride who she is and what power she possesses. We are the bride of Christ. We need to act like it. We need to talk like it. We need to stand like it. We need to fight like it.